The song selection today, we've been moving, as most of you know, we're still in the process of moving and unpacking things, which would explain my appearance, because you know how it is. It's like you open a box and you find a shirt, but then you can't find the iron, or you wanted to wear this one suit, but you couldn't find the socks that would work with it. And so the kids have been going through it with us, and so dedicated all the songs to Kendall's favorites. It was like Kendall plays the hits. So all these songs, if you love them, then great. It's because Kendall loves them. And that's one of her favorites. And then the first one we did, she's been running around the house talking about Hallelujah, Thine the Glory. So it cheers her up. But we're still in the process of moving. But it's been great to get that extra 15 minutes of sleep since I don't have to drive here anymore. We're having a sleep deprivation problem. Apparently, there's a lot of us who are going through some sleeping problems. I know Mike, we were talking about it, how, with the baby being there and everything, he's like, let me go cough somewhere else so I won't keep the baby up. But we've been talking about investing spiritually and how developing a strategy to invest is much like how we have to develop a strategy to go out and pursue the work of God, be able to go out and be ambassadors of Christ, go out and take the gospel, which has been invested in us, and go out and get a return on that. We've looked at the different examples of how Jesus talked about the bags of gold and the talents, and how there was an expectation that they turned that into something by the time he returned, and how the same thing is expected of us, that we're expected to grow and make good on that investment that we've been given through the gospel. And so as we continue to talk about this, there's something that I want us to consider, which is when it comes to investing, it's not just an investment of our time, and it's not just an investment of our resources and our thoughts and our energy and our prayers and going out and being available to love and serve God's people and serve the lost, but also it does involve money. And it's not so much that people have to always focus on money from the standpoint of, I need to give more, I need to give more, I need to give more. But sometimes it's the heart and how you give, the faith that goes behind that money. So the title of the sermon, You Never Give Me Your Money. Now, those of you who are old enough will know the reference to this because it's a Beatles song, as we've been talking about investing. Came to mind, what was it, Abbey Road? And they had this song, and the lines go something like, you never give me your money, you just give me your funny paper. And when it comes time for negotiations, you break. And I want us to think about this, because one thing that is kind of universally true in pretty much any church USA, I don't care what belief system you have, I don't care where you're from, I don't care what it is, all you have to do is talk about money, and people just immediately get tight. They just immediately start thinking, okay, well, what's this about, you know? And yet I want us to take a different approach and a different attitude and a thought process about this, because the Bible says, you know, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Oftentimes our attitude towards our money is reflective of our faith. And a lot of times we completely lose sight of the fact that even in the Old Testament, where, you know, they would give a tithe and they would bring in their portions, they would do this stuff, it wasn't that God needed it. It wasn't necessarily because God needed the money. I mean, it was his money anyway. We do, even as we did the, you know, giving, and we took the collection up just now, we understand that it's God's money. We understand this because of his blessings. But sometimes we have to take a step back and ask ourselves, are we giving in a way that's pleasing to God from the heart? So I want to start by looking in the book of Haggai. In chapter 1, starting in verse 2, it says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew, and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. What we see here, there's a ton of things in here, but what we see here very specifically, and it's repeated, says, give careful thought to your ways. Now, what's being demonstrated as we look in this passage is that people hadn't given careful thought to their ways. The idea that you go out and you work and you earn money and you have food and clothes and it says, yet you never quite have enough, it's because your priorities are not in the right place. It's because what matters to you is not in the right place. We see this reflected in other scriptures. We see this in the example where Nehemiah says that the people are walking by the temple and it's in ruin. They're walking by the walls, the gates, and they see it, but nobody's alarmed. Nobody's upset. And oftentimes we can tell where a person, as it says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We can tell where a person, what they care about, what matters to them, by what they spend their money on, what they actually are willing to actually invest their money in. And it's a reflection of how committed we are to what we say we're committed to. We believe in God. We believe in the church. We believe that the church is necessary. But do we give in such a way that says, I believe? See, one of the things, if you notice, and many of you may have read this before in the Gospels, where there was something, and it was only talked about in Mark chapter 7, where it talked about what was called the Corban. And basically, it was this idea that I'm giving this special thing that was dedicated to the temple, right? And the idea was, I'm going to give this amount of money, I'm going to give this thing, and that absolves me from basically having to take care of my other responsibilities. In particular, it was talking about you're not taking care of your parents. You're saying what I give to the temple, that's what I gave, and therefore that'll take care of them. And ultimately, it reflected a heart issue more than it reflected a money issue, because what it was showing was that they were giving according to the law. They were giving according to what was required or whatever standard they had, whatever measure they have, but they weren't giving from their heart. They weren't giving in faith. See, a lot of times, out of compulsion or maybe even out of just feeling like, well, this is what I should be doing, we give, but are we giving knowing that when I put that check in, when I put that money in, it's not necessarily going to the treasury or the finance committee, or it's not going to people to spend it. It is going to advance the word of God. It is going towards helping people be able to get closer to God. See, if we understand it from that standpoint, it's not just that we may give more, but we'll give with a different heart. Because we see it like we're investing. It's kind of like nobody has to explain to you that when you're paying that tuition for your child's school, you know what it's going for. You understand that investment. You understand what that's going to and how that's going to ultimately affect the outcome of that person's life. The church, we give scholarships, we know what that's going to. We understand how that's going to affect and impact someone's life. But when we give to the church, do we understand and truly appreciate how that's going to affect people's lives? What we were just reading about in Haggai, we see there where it's like, clearly you haven't given thought to your ways. Because if you had given thought to it, you would understand that the blessings that you have, you can't keep it unless God says so. The clothes that you have on your back can be taken from you. What did it say? They put the money, it was like they put it in their purses, in their pockets, and it was like it had holes in it. So even when you get that raise, you say, man, I got a $15,000 raise. But you haven't, yeah, I heard somebody, ooh, that's a lot. Yeah, that is. I'm all good for a $15,000 raise, right? But here's the thing. If you then don't say, you know what? I'm now going to give more because I recognize where those blessings come from. And then you wonder, well, how is it we made $15,000 extra? I don't understand why our financial lot hasn't changed or gotten better. Actually, it's gotten worse. It's because your heart is in the wrong place. You're not giving careful thought to your ways, and you're not considering that where those blessings came from. If I believed in it, if I had faith in that God, if I truly understood where these blessings come from, I would understand that he is what's in control. That I don't have to worry. That I don't have to think about it. Look, one of the things that's changed by virtue of us moving is our finances have changed quite a bit. And therefore, my wife and I, our family, we give more. And it's not anything where, you know, George or Curtis or somebody sat me down and we had a meeting and they said, okay, well, you know what? Your finances have changed, so I need you to, you know, kick in a little bit extra. No. Nobody should have to tell you what to give. The beauty of it is that you give from your heart. You give from what it is that God blesses you with. And we have to see that financial investment that God puts on us. We have to see that when he gives us extra, when he allows us to be taken care of, when he richly blesses us, when he gives us the resources, the friends, the family, this church that we have here, that when we give, even if we don't give more, it's the heart in which we give. It's the faith behind how we give. That reflects that investment. There's a saying by Winston Churchill. He says, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. It's the heart behind what we give. And see, no matter how much faith you have, you may not get a raise. You may not get more money, and therefore you may not be able to add more to the collection. But that's not what we should be so concerned about. What we should be concerned about is, do we actually believe in that time of giving? Do we actually believe that our finances matter in the ultimate grand scheme of things? And let's just be honest, people can get very jaded and cynical, especially if you come from a place where people have mismanaged money and churches don't always take care of it. But here's the thing. We're giving to God. We're not giving with the expectation that, well, if I give X amount, then this thing is going to happen. No, we're giving from the heart. And what we see here is that because their hearts weren't in the right place, the priorities also weren't in the right place. And I want to look at a couple other scriptures really quickly about this. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. And I have a very important question at the end of this. I've asked this before, but I'm going to ask it after we read these. It says, in starting in verse 42 of chapter 2 in Acts, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with gladness and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Chapter 4, verse 32 says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. And so we see this in the early church. See, this is not just something, because a lot of times, you know, people, they get into talking about tithing, and is tithing still relevant? Is that, you know, the law of Moses, or is that, you know, something that applies today? And yet what we see here is that even in the New Testament, there's a heart issue. There's an attitude underneath all of this. Because it's not for me or anybody to sit around and judge and decide, well, we didn't give enough, or you didn't give enough, or you should be giving more. It's we see the heart of these people, the glad and sincere hearts. We see the way that God was moving, and it prompted them. They said, I have nothing of value on earth. There's nothing about what I'm doing here that matters more than what God is going to do with his people. And so the question I have, because this comes up, and I'll say this, one of the things that is, I'll just say it this way, most attractive and most compelling and challenging for me about what you will find in the Church of Christ is the understanding that we want to reflect the first century church. We want to be like the first century church. We don't want to deviate from what we see in the scriptures. You know, I was told when I was young, he said, you know, you basically, you know, you go with what's there, and you don't add to it, and you don't take away from it. You want to live in accordance with the scriptures. And yet the question I have is, do we give like the first century church? Because we believe that we should worship like the first century church, and we should pray, and we should baptize people like the first century church, that we should speak powerfully about the gospel, that we should go out and teach, that we should do what the first century church did, but do we give with the same heart as the first century church? And just like we've talked in past weeks, do we give our time? See, they were devoted to one another. Do we give our time like the first century church? Do we spend time in one another's homes like the first century church? Is our giving reflective of our understanding that we need to, as best we can in 2017, all these centuries and millenniums removed from the first century church, do we actually give with the same heart as the first century church? You know, it's interesting. Next week, you all recall a few months back, the Delaware Church up in Newark, they came down, and they're going to come back down again. Actually, in the bulletin, we're going to put in how they're having their Crab Fest in August, and we're going to start signing up for that. They want us to come up and join them in August for that. But they're going to be coming back down next week. There are several different churches and preachers and different people in leadership who I've been meeting with throughout Delaware. And a lot of these churches, we're like, we have to come together. And where there may be slight differences or something that maybe isn't exactly the way that you do it in your worship or the way you do it in the way that you believe, we have to at least be able to fellowship with one another on some level. Especially, and I'm talking churches of Christ. I'm not talking about some other groups or whatever. I'm talking churches of Christ. And one of the things that was interesting was I was talking to Marcos in particular. He was telling me several stories about how they're doing this, that they're starting this work up in Wilmington. And as they're going through, they're finding people. Just people are just coming up out of nowhere. And they prayed about it because obviously when you plant a church, when you start a work somewhere in a different place, it does require money. And you can't just come and say, okay, church, I know you give every Sunday and we're grateful, but we need you to give an extra, you know, $200,000. I mean, you know, people just don't have $200,000 laying around in their couch cushions, right? And so you need investments, you need money. These things have to come from somewhere. And one of the things that was so challenging, and it was a reminder to me of what we're reading about now, is where he said, but we just had to pray about it. We had to pray about it and let God bring it in because we didn't know where it was going to come from. It wasn't like we had this plan where we knew that money was going to come from this place or that place or whatever. And it made me think about my own personal finances and where it's like, do I actually on a regular day-to-day basis trust God with my finances? Do I actually trust him to govern and dictate my finances and how I should spend, how I should save? What should I spend on this? What should I do with this? But it was interesting because as he was telling me these different stories, and we were talking about this planning that they're doing, and he was talking about this couple. There were several of them he was telling me about. He was talking about this couple and how this one couple in particular, their name is Phillips, and how they had been looking for a church, and they had been going and visiting different churches, but they were looking for a church. They didn't know what to look for. They were looking for a church that was going to teach the Bible. But in the meantime, what they were doing was they were very committed that they were going to save up and they were going to give their money regularly, but they hadn't found a church. So when they finally showed up to worship, they said, this church teaches the Bible. This church is about the work of God. It's not a bunch of rules and traditions. They're not doing these things based on how they feel. They're doing it according to the scriptures. And what they did was, he said, they came up to him and they said, listen, we want to be a part of this. This is where we want to be. And we hadn't been going to a church. We hadn't found a church to actually take root in and be a part of. But we know we want to be here. And oh, by the way, for the past several months, we've kept our money. We didn't just say, well, since we don't have a church to go to and we're not a member there, we're not going to get. We've kept our money and we've allocated it, and here's what we've saved. This is what we have. They said they had gave him a check. It was over $5,000 because it had been months. See, they didn't just say, well, I have nowhere to give it, so I'm not going to give it. Or, well, you know, I feed the hungry sometimes. No, they said, this is what we're committed to doing. See, that reflects a heart. That reflects a heart that you believe that what you're doing in the church, it reflects a heart that says, you know, it's not just a fish fry. It's not just an outreach. It's not just something that the fellowship committee does. It's not we just get together at Luther Towers on Monday. It's not just a campus ministry and we got some college kids who, you know, want to praise God and want to read the Bible and want to do the right thing. It's more than that. If you truly believe that it's more than that, your pocketbook will reflect it. It'll show it. It's always a matter of the heart. It's always a matter of your attitude and your faith behind what you give. It's not the amount. We saw that with the widow who gave her two copper coins. That was all she had. And he said she gave more out of her wealth, out of her poverty, than these others gave out of their wealth and out of their abundance. It's the heart behind it. And so as we talk about investing spiritually, as we talk about how it is that we're going to make good on the gospel, how it is that we're going to go out and serve and do, it's important that we understand that it's not the money. It's not the cash. It's not what the total is for the offering this Sunday or last Sunday or next Sunday, but what's behind that offering. It doesn't matter what the number is, because God is going to provide. But it's what's behind it. It's the heart behind it. And each of us has to check our heart and say, am I investing? Am I allowing God to guide my investment into the work that he's doing here in Dover? And so I just want to finish by asking a few questions. Do I give with the same heart that I see in the first century church? Why or why not? And what made them different? See, obviously time has changed things. The way that we have a global economy has changed things. There's a lot of things that are different in the first century church. But Jesus remains the same. But the gospel remains the same. But what we do and how we handle and our attitude towards our giving should remain the same. It shouldn't be any different just because it was a long time ago. If we want to be like the first century church, if we want to reflect that same community, that same church, we have to have the same heart that they did. Am I faithful that my financial giving has and will ultimately lead to the building of God's church and the saving lives? Do we actually believe that when we give and we put our $10 in, our $50 in, our $20 in, whatever it is, do we believe that that is actually going towards advancing God's kingdom? Do we pray, not just here, but do we pray that the money we give, Ron's going to be back. It's like every year. We know Ron's coming. He's going to give us an update. He's going to talk about the work that's going on over in China. Do we believe that the money that we give as a church is actually going to go towards advancing the gospel in China? Do we believe that the money that we give here, that is going towards advancing the gospel here? If we don't believe that, if we have a problem, if we are confused or conflicted about that, then maybe that would explain why it is that we're not growing. Because it's not necessarily about how much it is. The numbers are going to change up and down. You're going to have people move coming out. This is a transient town. People come in through the Air Force. They get deployed. They leave. The money is not the issue. It's the heart. It's our faith. That do we believe that our money matters in advancing the gospel? Is my faith tied to my money? Should I reconsider how much I give and base it on how blessed I am? See, what we see there is you don't give based on what some rules or some, you know, algorithm or some chart. It's kind of like when you go out to the restaurant and you're tipping. You know, you're like, okay, well, I had good service. Preaching was great, so I'm going to give 18% today. But I didn't like what he said last week, so I'm only going to do 12% because he was late bringing me my drinks. We had that experience on Friday. The kids were really thirsty, and my son's like, are you going to tip her? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to tip her. But the thing is, we have to remember that as blessed as we are, as much love and compassion and mercy God has shown us, not only do we want others to have it, but we should give according to how blessed we are, not according to what is going to take us outside of our comfort zone. Because sometimes that comfort zone, it's a test. Sometimes that comfort zone is a test to see whether or not you're willing to give more. We didn't read through it, but we see that with Ananias and his wife, Sapphira, as they held back some of what they earned. See, everybody in agreement, they were going to give everything after they sold their property. and they held back. And instead of being honest, see, it showed a heart. It wasn't the money. It wasn't the money that we give or don't give. It's the heart behind it. And finally, as we talk about investing a little more, should we as a church seek to imitate the first century church in all aspects of our walk with God? Our finances included in this. Because one thing about it, it's easy for us to step back and feel like, you know what, we don't have a band up here, we don't have Cool in the Game, we're not about to, you know, put on a show, and we don't have a, you know, we don't do all these other things and add all these things into our worship, and we do things straight by the book, but do we give according to this book? Do we give according to what we see with the first century church? Are our hearts in all ways wanting to be like those who actually witnessed and saw what Jesus and the apostles were doing? Are we imitating the first century church in every way? Are we seeking to imitate them in every way? There may be somebody here who has never, that maybe this is all foreign to you because you're thinking, well, churches to me have always been, you know, these, I see stuff on TV and, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. I've never been that close to God, or maybe I'm not committed to following him. The question I have is, when are you going to be committed? When are you going to see the blessings that come from your giving, that come from your heart, your change of heart? Do you want a new heart? Because ultimately, that's what we all have to do in refining ourselves, is ask ourselves, do we want to have the right heart, which is a heart for God? If you've never accepted Christ, if you've never been one who said, you know what, I want to do it like what I see in the Bible, or I want to understand what that means, I want you to come forward. That way we can pray with you. We can study the Bible. We can show you what the scriptures say about being a true follower, giving with this right heart. Because, see, without having the heart and the mind of Christ, it's just money. It's just money, and I'm collecting it, and I'm making it, and I'm making it, and I'm making it. And then you wonder why it is you have holes in your pockets. And you never quite understand why it is you're never fully fed and you never stay warm. Because without a commitment to that forgiveness and that mercy and that grace that comes with accepting Christ, you never understand it. You'll never be able to truly make sense of it. And we want to help you make sense of it today. If you want to come forward, we can talk about that. We can pray about that. And as a church, we will rally around you and help you come to that full relationship with God so you can understand what it means to give with the right heart, not just based on rules. Please stand as we sing our song of invitation.